Hello, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you to episode 318 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? You guys are, and I appreciate it. Wow, another week. Before I got the Hulk, a friend who's a dog trainer and has dogs and horses told me that once you get a dog, you tend to like them more than humans. I don't know if that's true yet, but I will say I absolutely understand. She joked that her daughter noticed that she has 300 pictures of her dogs and horses and 5 pictures of her kids. So this is where we're at. There were so many stories this week of cops shooting and killing people and mass shootings going on. You know, it's post-pandemic, right? We're back. So many that the Derek Chauvin trial, the trial of the cop who killed George Floyd, was actually pushed off of the front page of the news. It's not in the top 3 cop stories this week. Think about that. The man we watched murder George Floyd, his trial, not even in the top 3 stories this week. That's how much it continues. That's how little we progress. That's how big the denial is that we have an incredible problem with policing. It is not a few bad apples. It is the policy of police departments across this country. And yeah, I'll get into it. But you know, we had a mass shooting last night. I'm recording this on Friday the 16th. So last night in Indianapolis at a FedEx, 8 people were shot. We don't even know the details of that story yet. Don't even know what happened there. Just another mass shooting. And that is Indianapolis' 3rd in 3 months. There were 4 people killed with a family fighting over a stimulus check. And then there was another shooting where 5 people were killed. And now this one, 8 people shot. It's, you know, again, the horror of these things. You know, you go to work, right? You work at FedEx. You work at night. You sort packages, get them ready for delivery, you know, whatever. All you did was go to work. Dead. And unfortunately, normal. It's just what we do. And when I say what we do, I mean, sadly, our country, right? Lauren Boebert, the crazy Colorado congresswoman, she did tweet about the mass shooting in Indianapolis. She did not mention thoughts and prayers. It seems that's gotten old. She simply tweeted that mass shootings are illegal. That was it. Mass shootings are illegal. Well, thank you, Lauren. We weren't aware of that. We thought they were just something you do just because. What a worthless person. What a worthless person. Now, you know what she's trying to say. Don't pass any new gun laws because mass shootings are already illegal. What a worthless person. I can't imagine what she would say to one of the families of these people killed. Like. Now, my friend Pat Morrison, who is a great reporter here in L.A. and has been around the L.A. news scene forever, she posted on Twitter when they started talking about guns again. She said, look, and it's true, I'm paraphrasing, but if the kids killed at Sandy Hook didn't change our gun laws, nothing will, okay? If a bunch of kids shot in an elementary school didn't do anything, then we're not going to do anything. So it continues. Dante Wright's killer, Kim Potter, the police officer who claimed she couldn't tell a taser from a gun, 26-year veteran of the force, trains other officers, couldn't tell. The taser's kept on your weak side, the gun on your strong or dominant hand side. Couldn't tell the difference. So she quit. She resigned. Well, she's now been charged with, I believe it's second degree manslaughter. And again, I don't go into what these charges are because I'm not a lawyer. I don't know exactly how the laws work specifically, but she has been charged. But even more amazing, the most, to me, the most amazing thing I've seen in this story, and this story is a tough one because what kind of bullshit is going on? But Pat Robertson, okay, yeah, that Pat Robertson, 700 Club, old Christian, hateful, racist, money raising preacher guy. That Pat Robertson, the man who famously said that Hurricane Katrina destroyed New Orleans because gay people live there. Yeah, that Pat Robertson actually spoke out against the police. He showed on his this video out of it, he showed the yellow taser and the black handgun and said that it's no way you could make this mistake. He said that Derek Chauvin belongs under the jail. Now, he didn't go so far as to say Black Lives Matter, because let's not get ridiculous. Pat's not gonna, that would be like Christian. That would be like something Jesus would say, that all lives, you know, black, white, Asian, whatever, all people are equal, you know, and black lives matter as much as white lives and Asian lives and anyone else, Latin or whatever. I mean, that would be Jesus, right? So Pat's not going there. But Pat Robertson said, well, it's bad PR for the cops. He said this has to stop. Now listen, I make fun of his reason for saying it, but it is a major thing that the cops have killed so many black people that Pat Robertson spoke out against it. That's unreal. That's unreal. We saw another video. Adam Toledo, a 13-year-old, shot by the police. Cops claimed he had a gun, blah, blah, blah. Of course, now the body cam video comes out. And I'm just somewhat surprised that these body cams are not only that they're turned on, but they're actually showing us the video. The cop shot the kid while the kid was standing there with his hands up. The cop said, stop, drop it, whatever. The kid raised his hands, cop shot him, standing there with his hands up. So to all the people who say, you know, you got to stop resisting and you got to comply, and I don't know. First of all, these cops who are scared of, you know, Dante Wright, who's this skinny little 20-year-old guy, or this 13-year-old kid. I don't know how you're scared of these people, but he did comply. He had his hands up when you shot him. That's pretty much compliance. So now I guess what black males, young black males in particular, have to learn to do is not just comply with the order. You have to somehow make a psychic connection and anticipate what the cop's going to order you to do so you actually comply before he says comply, and that way you don't get shot. Because the 1 second thing, I mean, you know, Tamir Rice, a 12-year-old kid with a toy gun, I think the cop gave him 3 seconds before he murdered him. This kid got 1 second. So you're actually at the point now, you're gonna have to psychically anticipate what the cop is gonna tell you to do and comply with that before he says it out loud, because a second is quick. That was more than a second right there. You see, that's a few seconds. So that's how long Tamir Rice had, you know, before he was murdered. Now, is it me? Is it us? Is it us black people? Are we just dreaming and saying that, well, no, it's the you know, you get the, I got one idiot on Instagram giving me the whole thing about if you comply, and, you know, he's white and he's put his hands on the steering wheel when the cops showed up, and, you know, black people, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, right. So we, in the immortal words of Warner Wolf, one of the great sportscasters in the history of New York sports, let's go to the videotape. Because what did we see? What did we see this week? We saw in Minnesota, 61-year-old white man, and his name isn't in this article. I'm sure his name came up later after he was arrested. So he's in a pickup truck, and apparently the cops had pulled him over. And you've probably seen this video. He backed his truck into the police car, knocked it out of the way, and then drove off with the cop hanging on the side of his truck. The cop's holding on. He's driving. Now, there was another cop there, and somehow this guy didn't get shot, didn't get tasered, didn't get murdered. Nothing. Nothing. And he actually drove with a cop hanging off the side. Then the other video, and again, it's going around again. This is from a few months ago. A guy named Merrick Burr in Ohio. Merrick Burr not only had a gun in the car, okay, and the cop saw the gun. He threatened to shoot the cop twice. He did not cooperate in any way. He didn't put his hands on the wheel. He didn't get out of the car. He just said, you know, I got my rights. I don't have to listen to you, blah, blah, blah. And then he drove off. And mysteriously, wasn't shot, wasn't tased, wasn't beaten, nothing. They pulled him over and arrested him, and that was that. So let's see. You're a 20-year-old black kid. One cop more or less has you, but the other cop feels the need to reach in and yell, I'm going to tase you and then murder you. 13-year-old black kid puts his hands up, gets shot in the chest. White man drives off. It was like something in a movie, you know, in like Lethal Weapon when, Mel Gibson, you know, in any cop movie, cops have a way of running after and grabbing cars. I'm sure Mel Gibson's done it. Tom Cruise has probably done it a few times. You tackle a car, you grab a moving car by the window and you hold on. I think Martin Lawrence or Will Smith, one of them did it in Bad Boys. Can't remember which one. But yeah, it's something that this is what happened to this cop. He's holding on to the side of the truck as the guy drives off. No worries. Merrick Burke, you know, and everyone's like, imagine if he was black. This man had a gun in his hand. A cop walked up to a window. What do they say is the most dangerous thing cops do on a traffic stop? They walk up because they don't know what they might encounter. So you walk up and you see this guy with a gun in his hand. Okay, I said it last week. There was a white woman in L.A., Fairfax and Olympic, loading the gun on video, waving the gun around. Nothing. No problem. Meanwhile, we saw Army Lieutenant Caron Nazio, right, in Virginia. Cops stopped him, pepper sprayed him, pointed their guns at him. Now, one of the cops has been fired, but still, they did all of this. Why? Had those temporary tags on his car. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute because I have direct experience with that. But we also saw this past week when it comes to bullying and assault, threatening, or whatever. Give me a minute. Jonathan Pentland, because I want to get these names right. Jonathan Pentland, we saw this video in Columbia, South Carolina, which, you know, real progressive place there. my mother was from a small town called Dalzell in South Carolina. Thank God she got out. Anyway, he's walking through the subdivision he lives in. He's harassing this black guy. He's much bigger than the black guy, by the way, which is always the case. These guys are always cowards. You know, they can only bully people if they have a large group, or if in this case, this guy's a trained drill sergeant in the Army, in shape. You can see he's capable of fighting, handling himself. Pushes the guy, threatened, what are you doing in this neighborhood? Well, he lives in the neighborhood. he lives in the neighborhood. That's what he was doing. He was walking in the neighborhood, and he was accused of accosting a white woman somehow. Does this sound familiar? Does this sound like Emmett Till in the 50s who got murdered for this? Yeah, things have changed. So this guy was arrested after the video came out. We're still waiting to see what the army does, if anything. So the next time they talk about, you know, support the troops and Colin Kaepernick hated America and some bitch, the flag, America, and the troops, some bitch, NASCAR. Whenever they come at you with that bullshit, okay, just keep in mind, black army lieutenant stopped by the cops, pepper sprayed, handcuffed, guns pointed at him because he had temporary plates on his brand new car that he bought. 100% legal, his car. White and army drill sergeant bullying and attempting to beat up a black kid for walking through the neighborhood. So when you say support the troops, I'm really not sure where you're going with that. And the only reason I call this out, and the only reason this bothers me, because as they always like to say, well, you know, that's just once. It didn't, you know, that's not what happens all the time. Well, I got bad news for you. There are definitely white supremacists in the military, and the military knows about it. There's an article in USA Today, 13 investigations of white supremacists in the military. And what the military does, they give them a general discharge under honorable conditions. Okay, that's how they get rid of them. There's a white supremacist gang called the RRR in the Marines. There were three sailors. Jacob Lasky and Edward Fix, and they left in December 10th in 2000. So they left a neo-Nazi rally. They're looking for a black person to beat up. They found a guy, John Joseph Newsom, poor guy, beat him with their fists and boots and a broken bottle. They're yelling, kill a nigger. And they were arrested, charged with aggravated battery, causing great bodily harm, and committing a hate crime. They were sent to county jail. These guys got the honorable discharge. They were dismissed via administrative discharges. So they entered civilian life, nothing on their record, and they continued in their white supremacy lives. 13 investigations, not one, and not one penalized, court-martialed, held to a military court, okay? Lasky was later involved in an attack on a synagogue, so it wasn't just black people he hated, it was also Jews throwing bricks with swastikas through the windows of a temple, and he's released in jail, and now he has white power, you know, tattooed along his jawbone. Good guy, right? Good guy, yeah. So let's not act like the military doesn't know about it, is my point. I'm not knocking the military. I've done more shows for the military than I can count. Great people, amazing people. As a matter of fact, we were in Iraq, and there was this kid named Red. He was in the army, and he was a cook. And we were talking, and I don't even know how we got on the subject of race, but we were talking about it, and Red was like, and he was a funny kid. He said that he was born up in the hills in North Carolina, and he had never seen, met, talked to, whatever, a black person until he got into the army. And so he was taught to hate black people and blah, blah, blah. He was like, man, I love him. I love him. I hang out with him. I learned to cook from him, this and that. It all changed because he met actual black people. The military was one of the first places where forced desegregation, and there were a lot of stories like that. But The military brass, the people in charge, know about these white supremacists. They know about this RRR, which is their KKK organization. They know about other organizations started by people in the military, and they do nothing. Honorable discharge under honorable condition, administrative discharge, whatever. No penalty. No penalty. Now, I was going to talk about Lieutenant Coronazio, who was stopped by the police for having the temporary plates on his car. Been there, done that. Recently, a couple of months ago, I was on a loaner motorcycle from a manufacturer, which when you have that, when you have a bike, a test bike that belongs to a manufacturer, they have these manufacturer plates. And the plates are from whatever state the motorcycle was manufactured in. Same thing with cars. I've had them with cars too. And it's a little different than a regular license plate. Cop pulled me over. He says I was speeding. He pulled me over at a red light. So I don't know how fast I was going while stopped at a red light, but apparently I was going far too fast to be sitting still at a red light. And they wanted to, of course, check, and they were, you know, this is what it was. They saw me on the bike. They saw this license plate. They weren't familiar with this license plate. And he even said to me, he said, hey, we're checking, you know, if you had a bike and it was stolen, you'd want to check. So he admitted, basically, that they were checking to see if I stole this motorcycle because a black guy's on a, it was a expensive for a motorcycle, probably about a $25,000 bike. Okay, and it had manufacturer plates on, so that's why they stopped. So the whole speeding thing was just bullshit. And yeah, I talked a little shit to him because why not? You know, he said he could pull me over, and I said to him, I said, well, I know. I said, I live in LA and I know how the police work, and I know you could pull me over for anything. You can pull me over for any reason you want. That's what I said to him. And you know, I had to call the rep from Indian, and he emailed me the paperwork beyond the what I had with the bike, which the insurance and the registration. Oops, I just gave away the brand. Yeah, it was an Indian motorcycle. That's not important. Other than Indians are great bikes. If you like motorcycles, it's a great bike. And shout out to Indian for lending me the bike and letting me ride it. It was great. And to their rep for taking care of this. But the point being, you know, just like this guy was pulled over for being black in a new SUV in Virginia, I had a test bike in LA. It. Listen, don't think California is more progressive, is more open, has much more progressive people, but in no way think that there is no racism in California. Oh, we got it here. We got it everywhere. And that's the problem. Again, all of this, I haven't even mentioned the Chauvin trial. It continues. That's all I'm going to say. That's how bad things are. Sorry about the yip. You hear my... Hulk is laying on his bed having some sort of dream, I guess. Wow. So, yeah, that's this week. Oh, I'm not done yet, but I just wanted to say that that's where we're at so far. Okay. This week's podcast brought to you by Gabby Insurance, okay? What is Gabby? G-A-B-I, Get a Better Insurance. Their name literally stands for what they do. Car, home insurance, we deserve better, okay? So what does Gabby do? They are a true comparison platform, and they have real rates. We're talking apples to apples comparison of your current coverage, all the top providers, Progressive, Nationwide, Travelers, et cetera, et cetera. What you do is you give them your current information, insurance information, your house, your car, your policy, your coverage, whatever, and you get to see quotes for the exact same coverage so you can compare the prices, all right? It's that easy. Put in your information, you'll get it. Gabby customers save average of $961 a year. Gabby's not going to sell your info. They're not harvesting or anything like that. It's Get a Better Insurance. So here's what you do. Put your policy to the test. Get a better insurance with Gabby. It's totally free to check, and there is no obligation. Go to Gabby.com/Alonzo. That's G-A-B-I.com/Alonzo. Okay, Gabby.com/Alonzo. Compare rates for the exact same coverage. Save yourself some money. Gabby Insurance. All right. Thank you, Gabby. Because now I told you I'm trying to bring good news to the podcast. I don't know if I'll say this good news. It could turn out to be fantastic news. I hope it does. But at this point, I will tell you that it is very interesting. Very interesting what's going on with this story. So, the Bruce family is a family that owned beachfront property in Manhattan Beach in the early 1900s. And they bought a plot of land in Manhattan Beach. Okay, and then they expanded that. They put a little business on it, you know, little restaurant, whatever. Became a getaway for black people to go to the beach. A few other black people bought homes nearby along the beach. They started calling it Bruce's Beach. They were minding their own business, having a good time. But it's in the early 1900s, so of course the Klan didn't want them there. The Klan started. They burned a mattress. They burned a house down. Ultimately, the city took the land from the Bruce family and these other black families, claimed they were going to build a park. The land sat unused for years and years and years. In 1948, they finally built the park so that they wouldn't get sued for taking the land and not using it for its purpose. Became state land. Now it's county lifeguard station. Okay, this land was taken 100 years ago. The family, the initial Bruce, the current guy, his great-grandfather bought the land. The great-grandfather ended up working, you know, as a black person for other business owners, which he had been one, but now he's working for them. Grandfather was angry all his life because he was alive. He knew when the land was stolen from his family. His father left California, couldn't deal with it anymore. Now he's living in Florida. And they're here's the thing. They're looking at what reparations to make to this family. They're talking about, do we give them back the land? Do we pay them rent for the land? Do we pay for college educations in the state university system, et cetera, et cetera? There's a congressman, Steve Bradford, who's working on this. There's a bill for reparations for this family for what they've done. And yeah, that's the R word, reparations. Yeah. And he said to the white people who are complaining, he says, hey, and I love this, if you can inherit generational wealth, you can inherit generational debt. I love that quote, because these families, these people, and Manhattan Beach, this real estate, they're talking a value of $70 million for this beachfront land that they had. This is a lot of money. This land is super valuable, okay? Beachfront land in Southern California, Manhattan Beach, are you kidding? This land is super valuable. And these families that live there, yeah, a lot of you inherited those homes. You didn't buy those homes. Your family bought those homes years ago, and now they're worth millions and millions of dollars. I love that quote. If you can inherit generational wealth, you can inherit generational debt. I talked about this last week in Evanston, Illinois. Same thing, where they ran black people out of their homes. And remember, the family home, okay, the family home is the source of beginnings of wealth, income, etc. That's how you build. The American dream, own a home. So this black family, the Bruce family, they did it. And can't imagine how hard it was to do back then, but they did it. They bought land on the beach, and they had their own thing going. It was black people in this section of the beach. By the way, this is why Martha's Vineyard is popular with black people, because it was a place where affluent black people were allowed to go on vacation back in these times, okay? And I also say this to remind you that I live in California. I love Southern California, but we're not immune. It wasn't as bad as the South, Okay, in the South, this never would have happened. You imagine trying to buy beachfront land in Texas or something like that? Or yeah, not going to happen. But anyway, this is how this family was treated. This story's ongoing. I don't know what's going to happen. I doubt they're going to give the land back. That's just my personal thing. They might give them some money. They might write them a check. And if they do, good, pay them. And just like I believe that police lawsuits for wrongful deaths and abuse and beatings should be paid by the police pension fund, I believe this should be paid by the city and by the people who live in this city that took the land. Now, it won't be. It'll be paid by the state and so on. But that would be good. Yeah. If you can inherit generational wealth, you can inherit generational debt. I love that. Finally, I want to talk about, because once again, it's what they tell. When I say us, I mean black people. They tell us to do it, then we do it, then you get penalized for doing it. Patrice Cullors, or Cullors, I'm sorry, I may be pronouncing it wrong. It's Cullors. I'm going to go with Cullors. She has $3 million property portfolio. She is the executive director of Black Lives Matter Global Movement. She does not get paid for that. She's one of the founders of Black Lives Matter. And she's done well. The woman's done well for herself. She's a writer. She's a public speaker, etc. She does not get paid by Black Lives Matter. She does have property. She's got a couple of homes in LA. She's got a home in Atlanta. And now she just bought a place in Topanga Canyon. I know Topanga Canyon. It's not that far from where I live. I don't live in Topanga Canyon. All right? Because I was just talking about this with somebody else. When people see, like, if you've been on TV, they think you're rich. No. But Topanga Canyon is a beautiful canyon between what we here call the Valley, which is the San Fernando Valley, and Malibu. Okay, the valley inland, Malibu, and a beach. Topanga's the canyon in between. It is populated by old hippies, because back in the day, back in the 50s, 60s, whatever, when it was really nobody out there, the hippies had it. It is populated by what we, back in the day, back in the 80s, we would have called them yuppies, okay? White people who made some money, who wanted to get out of the city and buy a nice house in the hills where it's quiet and this and that, they're in Topanga. A lot of artists, definitely a big artist community. It's a very eclectic, kind of weird, kind of cool place to live. Not a lot of black people. Well, according to this article, 1%. But people in Topanga are pretty cool. They're kind of like they protect Topanga. It's not even racial or anything else. A lot of places in LA are like that, where the segregation isn't by race or by religion or color. It's economic. But Topanga people are just Topanga. That's what it is. Anyway, so she bought a house there. So these right-wing organizations are trying to discredit her and her being a part of Black Lives Matter by saying, oh, she ain't really black. She ain't from the hood. She's rich, blah, 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 you know. All right, listen. First of all, doxing her is wrong. And the doxing, that's giving out her personal information, her address, where she lives, etc., so people can harass and hassle her. But more importantly, what do they always say? Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You black people, you complain too much. You don't work hard. We don't work hard. Whatever. All this bullshit. This woman has done it. This woman, just like I said, they hated Barack Obama. One of the big reasons they hated Barack Obama, because he did it. He did the American dream. He worked his way up and he became president. Somebody told him anyone could be president and he proved it to be true. This woman is another example. Okay, this woman has worked hard, bought real estate, leveraged it into more real estate. People in the real estate, they do this, use equity to buy another house, a bigger house. So what, she has a house in Atlanta that has a hangar. Okay, listen, if she was some evangelical preacher who said, give me money because I need a new G5 jet, they'd be fine with it. She doesn't have a G5 jet in there, but the place has a hangar. I good for her. Hope she does get a jet. So she bought this house in Topanga. It's worth, I don't know, a little over $1 million. and they're trying to discredit her. She didn't get paid by Black Lives Matter. She's not in Black Lives Matter for the money. She's in Black Lives Matter for, wait for it, because Black Lives Matter, and she believes it. They're holding this against, they say you don't work hard. She does work hard. She develops this success. She ain't bothering anybody. She's living in her house, right, taking care of her family, doing whatever, and they still hate her for it. And that is racism. But then you knew that. Check out KBLA Talk 1580. Okay, go to KBLA Talk 1580 on the internet. Sign up. It's the new progressive talk for LA. It's coming soon, and you will hear me on it. I think I'm allowed to say that now because they're already doing, yeah, they're already doing publicity. You didn't hear it from me, but we're waiting. We're going to start. So check out KBLA. It should be streaming. I don't know when. Unfortunately, I don't know when. There's a lot to deal with in starting a new radio station. The people who are starting this are starting really hard. And, okay, you might hear me on it. Maybe I can say that. Not sure. I love you guys for listening. Who's paying attention? You are. Yeah, let's hang in there. Maybe those who came up with the vaccine for the coronavirus will someday come up with a vaccine for bullets.